Amanda Robertson. Amanda is the NDP candidate for Bay of Quinte. And it's like you were just here doing this.
It's deja vu. I was just here. But I'm happy that I'm here right at the very end, because I think there is something to save the best for last. So,
well, there you go. There you go. Our phone lines are open. And the best thing for me here is that I got a ton of questions, but it's better if you ask your questions. This is an opportunity for the folks listening to get their questions in about this provincial election. Again, Election Day is Thursday, and we'll have coverage here on 800 CJBQ. And of course, we'll talk to the winners on Friday, right here on this program. So, Amanda, you have run. You were run, I guess, 5 months ago in the last election. You did very well. And why did you sign to do this again?
Well, because we had built some real momentum here. And I mean, I ran in the by-election because I really do believe our community deserves better. We deserve stronger representation, somebody who's willing to take our voices to Queen's Park versus bring Queen's Park voices here. And nothing has changed about that. In fact, I would say life is getting even harder. So even since the by-election, we've had people who have reached out who maybe voted conservative in the by-election who are like, we're not seeing results. We're not seeing anybody delivering for people here in the Bay of Quinte. So, I mean, that our message is resonating with people, and I'm happy to be the one to deliver that.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546 is the number to call to speak with Amanda. And again, don't call at 5 minutes before 11, because that's problematic. Call now. Get your questions in now. And, of course, Amanda will have 90 seconds at the end of this interview, at the end of this hour, to tell us why we should vote for her in Bay of Quinte. For people who don't know, people who didn't listen last time, people who are hardly paying attention, they might not know you. So tell us a little bit about Amanda Robertson.
Sure. So I'm a mom of three, currently a school board trustee with Hastings and Prince Edward. I'm married to a family doctor here in town. I coach in youth basketball here with the Belleville Spirits Boys organization, volunteer, sit on the board of directors for the John Howard Society. I'm their treasurer over there. And I really, truly just really care about enabling people to participate in life and living. And that kind of stems from I have a master's in occupational therapy. And for those people who are not familiar with that profession, it really is about making sure that people can participate in life. And that really informs every way that I participate in the community and advocate for.
I guess some people might ask, well, how come you're not working as an occupational therapist? I guess if you have three young kids, that's more than a full-time job, hardest job in the world.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, in 2018, I did a certificate in professional communication. So I actually do some copywriting and content writing work for different medical companies. So I do freelance writing. It's something I can mix in along all of my volunteerism and being a parent. And it's something that I enjoy doing. And
so your days are filled. Even if you weren't on the hustings here, your days are filled.
That's right. And they always have been. I am a busy person. I thrive and I do my best when I'm busy and I have lots of irons in the fire.
You mentioned that you're a school board trustee for the Hastings Prince Edward District School Board. There's been a story out there involving one of the trustees. It is, I think it's in the courts. We haven't talked a lot about it on this show. Do you want to, what's going on there? I mean, if you guys can't control your trustee council, how can you work in the legislature?
Well, I mean, I think there's drama in all levels of government at this point in time, Lauren. And what I can say is that is before the courts. It has to do with code of conduct, which is our papers on how we need to be upholding our duties as trustees with respect to integrity. And I will just leave it at that.
So that's a good no comment.
Mm-hmm. It is a no comment.
Well, let's step away from that and talk about overall code of conduct. The Canadians are closer than ever. There's an election going on here in Ontario, and very soon there could be an election federally. Doug Ford is positioning himself as the guy who can deal with the orange scourge, and not your orange, a very unnatural orange down south. And they don't care about rules or code of conduct or anything. They care about chaos, or at least one person does. How would an Ontario NDP party deal with that chaos? How would Marit Stiles and you, because who knows, they win, you could be on cabinet, you never know.
That's right.
How could she deal with that guy? Can anybody?
Well, I think you're right in that I don't think anybody can deal with him. And I don't think that Doug has any particular skills that would endear him to Donald Trump either. So I think dealing with Trump is kind of like dealing with a hurricane or a natural disaster. It's something that we can prepare for, but it really is about looking inwards at how resilient we are and how safeguarded we are as a community. So we know that Ontario should be a land of opportunity. We have a lot of natural resource. We have a lot of human resource. We have a lot of potential to be able to be safeguarded and self-sustaining. So an Ontario NDP government would be investing in our province and our community and interprovincial cooperation to be able to withstand whatever it is that the orange scourge bestows upon us, because I don't think at this point in time anybody is going to be able to stop what it is he's doing, but what we can do is make sure that we are as strong as possible to be able to withstand whatever comes our way.
One thing you're going to agree with, that Doug Ford says that the 15 million people in this province, we are the generator, the fireplace, the, you know, the boiler of this country. If he comes through with 25% tariffs on steel, that's a big deal for this province. He was mentioning 100% import duty on automobiles. The auto sector is massive in this province. Is there anything specific that you can do or the NDP would do to deal with those issues, the tariffs? The Premier Ford says maybe 400,000 to 500,000 potential jobs.
Yeah, well, and I think the reality is if tariffs like this are imposed upon us, there are going to be job losses. And I think an Ontario NDP government would ensure that we're supporting our workers through any potential negative impacts to their livelihoods. So ensuring that we've shored up a great deal with the federal government to support people through income assistance, ensuring that we're providing funded opportunities at our post-secondary education and within the skilled trades to be able to retrain people, ensuring that we are expediting infrastructure projects that are ready to go so that we can keep people working in the trades while we navigate whatever comes next. And I think building up new supply chains, finding new markets for our goods is going to be something that all parties are going to need to focus on, because we are very intertwined with the United States. But it has left us pretty vulnerable.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. You know, we talked about a second ago how this is going to affect so many people. How are you going to pay for some of these programs if people have no money to pay for these programs because of what's been causing? I mean, that's the whole crux of this, right? There's only one voter. There's only $1 from each voter.
That's right. And I think we need to remember that we bring in over $200 billion in taxpayer revenue at baseline. It really is about prioritizing where we're spending that so that we're not spending money, but we're investing money. And I think we have a government right now who is very quick to spend money, which is a cost to taxpayers, but we're not investing. We're not spending on things that are smart, that are making sure that we're receiving cost savings down the road. Building affordable housing is a big one for us, because not only is it needed, not only is it something that this government has failed to do, failed to build any housing, but it's something that will pay back in dividends when we're looking at down the road healthcare costs, down the road social infrastructure costs, where we have a homelessness crisis that is costing us in our jail spending, in our emerge department spending. These are all dollars that are coming out of our pockets one way or the other, and we're getting poorer services by not investing smartly with taxpayer dollars.
Let's go to the phone. 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Those are the numbers to call if you'd like to ask a question or have a comment. For Amanda Robertson, she's running to be your member of provincial parliament for Bay of Quinte, and she represents the NDP. Mark, good morning. You're on 800 CJBQ.
Good morning, and thank you. How would the NDP party streamline doctor costs? Because right now in the city of Belleville, we have an incentive program to attract doctors. Now, last week, we said we're going to have an incentive program to retain doctors. But however, if I go to the hospital, my doctor has a punitive paid to give back to the province. If I go to a walk-in clinic, even though Mr. Ford has said we need more walk-in clinics, more private clinics, but if I use those, in some cases there's going to be a penalty. In some cases, OHIP's going to pay for that. I'm just wondering, how can we streamline all these costs, not to penalize the doctor and not to penalize me if I end up going over there? I'm just wondering how the province, if your NDP party takes over, can streamline all these costs so each sector of the province, each municipality, doesn't fight against each other to attract doctors.
The other day, Doug Ford said, well, if you scrape your knee, you shouldn't be going to the ER, you should be going to a walk-in clinic. Which one? I'm thinking to myself, which walk-in clinic here in Belleville do we walk into? Which one in Quinte West? Which one in Prince Edward County? There must be 50 around. It's easy. You just go into one of those. I'm not sure. This is the GTA mentality that drives me nuts sometimes.
Yeah, and I think, thank you for your question. I think the reality is there are different challenges right now with respect to funding healthcare because the province has downloaded so much responsibility for, let's say, doctor recruitment and retention onto municipalities. An Ontario NDP government would re-upload the responsibility for healthcare back to the province where it should be so that it can start to be streamlined by simply being funded properly. We know we pay the lowest per capita in healthcare for any province across Canada. So while the province will come and the government will come and they'll say they're spending more than ever, they've spent more than any government in the history of Ontario, we know we're getting less value add. We also know that we need to improve the working conditions for our healthcare workforce if we want to improve access to care. So that involves not only recruiting more and training more healthcare workers, but ensuring that we're preventing the situation where we're burning out doctors. So yeah, we don't have a lot of walk-in clinics. We don't have a lot of in-person walk-in clinics in our riding because we don't have the doctors with the bandwidth to be able to support that. So we need to be able to make sure that we're addressing our healthcare workers' wants for a better workplace environment. Also acknowledging that we have a lot of work to do in investing in our community care healthcare workforce. They're often paid at a much lower rate, so it's a lot harder to get people to work within the community than it is in the hospital. So an NDP government would be addressing some of the concerns that have been brought forward by our nursing associations, our doctor associations, our allied health profession associations to deliver on the things that they need to make sure that we can retain our workforce and build and keep new graduates because we know that the situation cannot be solved by simply graduating more people into a broken system.
The system, I've had physicians tell me the system is crumbling. Hallway medicine is as bad as it's ever been. I heard an ER doc said we used to treat in hallway. Now we're treating in chairs. This is such a complex issue. But I will take your opinion on this because every day when you go home, you have somebody to talk to about this. And although, you know, spouses should have nothing to do with election campaigns, clearly you're able to talk to your husband, who you mentioned is a family physician. Mm-hmm. And I think you probably have a fairly good understanding of what happens every day in the trenches of family medicine here in Ontario. I want to talk about that next, before the break, after the break. This is why I'm not a doctor. The whole before and after thing screws me up. Okay, it's 10:22. We'll take a break.
Is a paid political message.
Do you have a family doctor? I'm Lori Borthwick, Ontario Green candidate for the Bay of Quinte and a longtime frontline healthcare worker. I understand how essential it is to have access to the healthcare you need, and yet over 26,000 of us are struggling without this important access. If you believe healthcare should be a priority every day and not just on election day, then vote Green February 27th. It's time.
Authorized by the CFO of the campaign to elect Lori Borthwick.
She wanted a baby, but it wasn't meant to be. She never gave up hope. She was hope. And she chose surrogacy. Because of this new hope, a daughter came into her life. A miracle happened. With New Hope Surrogacy, you can be the surrogate someone needs.
Martha is my miracle. Now she wants to bring the hope of family to the people of Quidney.
If you would like to make a miracle happen,
New Hope Surrogacy would love to start a conversation with you. Visit newhopesurrogacy.ca today.
Your fabrics deserve the best care. The Electrolux laundry appliances from Arnie's gives you just that. Introducing the most effective stain-removing washer powered by Smart Boost. Make it last with Electrolux. Visit Arnie's Appliances, Tyen and Ega. Everything but the taxes.
Want to get the luck of the Irish on your side?
You could search for a four-leaf clover.
Or join Hospice Quinty's third Lucky Luxury Raffle.
More than 20 prizes to be won.
And with only 500 tickets available, your odds of winning are shinier than a pot of gold.
Get your tickets now, just $40 each. Lucky winners will be announced live on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Must be an Ontario resident, 18 or older.
Check out prizes and buy tickets online. HospiceQuinney.ca.
Big savings are happening now with Peter Boyer Chevrolet Buick GMC at Napanee. Get a massive $10,000 off the 2024 Blazer EV and 2024 Equinox EV. Electrify your drive and save big. Plus 90 days, no payments on many models. Or drive home a GMC Sierra with 0% financing for 60 months. Find us at the corner of Highway 401 and 41 in Napanee. Call 1-866-BOYER-GM or visit BoyerGM.com. Peter Boyer Chevrolet Buick GMC. We won't be beat.
Hi, my name is Brenda Snyder of Volunteer and Information Quinney. Volunteers are the heartbeat of our community. All the important services, programs, and fantastic events rely on the support of everyday people like you and me. Listen to CJBQ Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 11:20 to hear about some great volunteer opportunities in your community. We encourage you to get involved, make a difference, and have fun while you're at it. Volunteer and Information Quinney is proudly supported by Quinney's Hometown Radio.
800-CJBQ. I think we need to talk. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Welcome back. It is 25 minutes after 10 o'clock. It's our second hour of the Lauren Brooker Show, and we are having a discussion with NDP candidate for Bay of Quinte, Amanda Robertson. Her cohort in this, the HLA candidate, Hastings, Lennox, and Addington for the NDP, Jessica Zilke, will join us tomorrow. And I don't know Jessica at all, so it'll be interesting
She's
to
fabulous.
Meet her. But we know you. You've become a regular on our show on the round table and everything. And so clearly, if you get on the round table, you must know your stuff.
I try.
That's not true. Anybody can get on. It's just $50. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So you're running again, and we were talking about healthcare. Your husband is a family physician. Family medicine and having access to a primary care provider is really what everybody seems to be talking about. And billions of $1.8 billion from the Conservatives, I think $3 billion from the NDP, $4 billion from the Liberals. My opinion is you could put $45 billion in, and if that money isn't spent correctly, it doesn't matter. It's about spending the money correctly. So let me ask you, because I know you've asked your husband this question, and you can tell me it's none of my business, but do you actually believe that in the next 4 years, that every man, woman, and child who wants one in this province can have a primary care provider?
Yes, I do believe that.
Then tell me how.
So, I mean, that is, it's multi-pronged. We need to be graduating more healthcare providers, so whether that's nurse practitioners, family doctors, but we also need to be improving the working conditions and creating an environment where they can see more patients and have more client or patient interaction. So the OMA has been very clear with what they are looking for, as has the nursing associations. They want more investment in team-based care so that there can be access for patients and direct access to different team members so they can access what they need when they need it. So right now, if you want a referral to a dietitian and you have a family doctor, that often looks like a family doctor appointment to refer you to a dietitian. Whereas in a team-based model, and especially one where patients can directly schedule appointments, they can just schedule an appointment with a dietitian. Mm-hmm. They can have access to an occupational therapist or a physiotherapist. So not just funding of the teams, but making sure that there's minimum staffing and staff makeup of these teams as well.
Quite often, somebody doesn't need to see a doctor. If somebody's been on a statin drug for cholesterol for 11 years and their prescription is running out, they might need to see a doctor, but they might just need somebody to call to say, hey, I need my prescription's refilled. If somebody, as you said, sprained their wrist and it's clearly not that bad, but they just need some. And so this team thing is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that's proven to work. It's an evidence-based model that we know allows doctors and nurses to practice in a way where they can see more people. There's right. less overhead. There's less administrative burden. We know that in the year 2025, we can do so much more for patients than we could have 30 years ago. It's and like, that all comes with paperwork. It comes with additional referrals.
One of the things during COVID, of course, was the ability to have a tele appointment. I think that's a good idea. I mean, if somebody is very busy at work, and again, it's just about refilling your birth control, for example. Hey, doc, how are you? How are you doing? Everything going well with your birth control? No issues? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we'll just refill it. Thank you. That was 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
right? Doctor can still get paid for their 15 minutes or whatever, but the amount of this and that and all the other stuff that goes into it is gone.
Well, and I think that's where the continuation of care is important in that relationship, right? So we can have physicians like my husband have telephone appointments, and that can be cost savings, time savings, but you still have that long-term relationship. So if there's something beyond right. your birth control that you need, you still have that relationship and an ability to access.
Right.
Whereas if we move just to a telehealth type model, what a lot of people are experiencing is they don't have that continuity of care.
Well, and clearly it should be thought out properly, right? Like if you're having, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, you should be able to go see your doctor. But again, if it's just something that needs to be spoken about for a minute, you should be able to do that. Listen, if we can have the Prime Minister of Canada, the President of the United States, and Vladimir Zelensky have a conversation yesterday over technology, certainly somebody can talk to their doctor about getting whatever pills, their blood pressure pills redone.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes a barrier to that is that billing is challenging for phone appointments. So there's different compensation models depending on what right. you're doing. And that can be a barrier sometimes. Sometimes there has to be an in-person appointment for them to be able to bill for anything. So it's just, there's a lot that needs to be addressed. And they're little things, but these are the little things that are adding up that are causing our physicians and our nurse practitioners to exit the system altogether.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is a time when we need more as opposed to less. And it's not that the Liberals or the NDP or the Green or the Conservatives don't want that. I think everybody wants the same result. Mm-hmm. It's just how do you get to the finish line and what party has the best plan? Mm-hmm. And you would say
And I would say best. Our party has the best plan, hands down. because it's more than just building new medical schools and graduating new doctors and bringing in new doctors. That has to be a part of it, but it can't be the whole plan because we know what's happening right now is not working. And I know that addressing some of these tiny pieces, you don't get the big accolades saying, look at this big flashy hospital we've built. But if we don't start doing some of these little seemingly insignificant
Your husband
actions,
shouldn't be spending hours dictating what he already saw. There should
no.
be programs in place to just do it.
Well, and there are.
I know.
And a lot of these are being paid out of pocket by doctors. So some doctors have been able to capitalize on AI technology and other technologies, but they're paying for that out of pocket. So like these are the things that government could be helping with that
right.
financial burden.
If your husband could see 4 or 5 more patients a day or 10 more, what can you imagine?
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of times patients only need a few minutes. Sometimes
yeah.
people are more serious. It all depends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to Amy. Amy, good morning. You're on with Amanda Robertson.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Amy.
So I'm just wondering what the NDP party's plan is to make life more affordable, young people and old people. My grandmother is struggling to pay rent and stay at home. And we don't want to put her in retirement home because she wants to stay in her own home. Me personally, living in my parents' basement is not what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So for all the everyday people, what is the NDP's plan?
Yes, and thank you for that question, Amy. So, I mean, we have a couple signature platform pieces that really kind of capture a lot of need. One is our monthly grocery rebate, and pairing that with a watchdog for our big grocers, because we know that providing rebates to people for food basics, if it's just going to be turned around and tucked into Galen Weston's pocket, it's not really going to do a whole lot except make the rich richer. But the reality is there's a lot of work to do, especially you mentioned seniors and your grandmother. We would be introducing a rebate or a grant for older adults to renovate and modify their homes so that they can stay age in place longer. And also pairing that with real meaningful investment in community care and in team-based healthcare. So like I had mentioned before, our primary care teams would also include an occupational therapist. And these are people who can go into homes, do home assessments, and make sure that people's homes are safe for them to age and to be comfortable and thriving in their own homes. So those types of pieces. We would be bringing in real rent control on all units and closing the loophole that exempts units built after 2018 from rent control, because we know rent has skyrocketed under this government, and people are costed out of even renting. So bringing in rent control, our grocery rebate, really tackling some of that food cost crisis that we're experiencing, and providing rebates and benefits to people so that they can age in place.
One of the things you didn't mention is interprovincial trade. And we, of course, are a nation of individuals who, as I've said this many times, and I truly believe, we're in front of ourselves. We have to move ourselves over to move this country forward. Where are the NDP with eliminating some of the things that are in front of us?
Yeah, so in our platform, we do have a piece about removing interprovincial trade barriers. We recognize that it can be quite complicated because with respect to Quebec, for example, there's a lot of language laws that
trucking is the biggest one.
Trucking and the free movement of healthcare workers right. across our country. We know there are barriers there as well. So it will take a lot of untangling and untangling that intertwined nature of interprovincial trade barriers. But it is something that Marit Stiles is committed to working with fellow premiers to break those down.
Does it drive you, is it not an insane notion that if your husband wants to go practice in Nova Scotia or Alberta, that he might not be able to, like, as if the human body is different there?
Well, and not that he wouldn't be able to, but like, even the fact that it would take time.
Well, no,
right?
He would clearly be able to, but he couldn't just go say, hey, I'm going to do this here now.
Yeah.
And somebody would say, okay.
Yeah. No, it is. It is wild. It is. Yeah. And there's a lot of examples, trucking, for example, roads are pretty much the same across the country.
Right.
So I think it is something that we have a lot of work to do. And it's something we've kind of been complacent on as a country, just putting it on the back burner. And I think we're in a moment right now, especially with the tariff threat, where this needs to be taken off the back burner. And we really need to evaluate how we do business across the country.
Paul, good morning. You're on with Amanda.
Oh, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for doing this show. Good morning, Amanda. I've been following you along here for the last little while. I'm very impressed with you, everything you do. You sound like a great candidate for this area. A little bit unfortunate that, you know, if you have a different representative from a different party and not following the provincial leadership, it makes it difficult for you to be elected. My concern is, does the NDP have anything planned for allowing doctors trained in other countries? South Africa, Ireland, England. It seems to be they have to jump through hoops to be qualified, and I don't understand that, because if you're trained, you're trained. You're a doctor, you're a doctor, whether you're in Africa or Australia or Canada. Does the NDP have any plan to change that problem, get these doctors in here that will allow you to have a doctor for everybody in the next 4 years?
Yeah, so I mean, bringing in more international medical graduates is in our platform as something that we want to be expediting and streamlining, but also keeping in mind that While it is cumbersome and while there are checks and balances in place with respect to our international graduates, my husband, for example, is a preceptor for our international medical graduate program for family doctors specifically. There is a period of time that is required to ensure that people who are trained elsewhere have the skill set and have the knowledge of our system here in Canada to be able to practice in a safe and competent way. So we don't necessarily want to remove all of those safeguards and flood the system with people who may or may not be qualified, because we know that most people who come here as international medical graduates are more than qualified, more than competent, and they pass through the program just fine. But there has been cases of people who do not meet the requirements and then therefore do not become qualified to practice here. So it's about balance and about listening to our College of Family Physicians and our medical organizations to ensure that their concerns and that their requirements are being met by some of these programs. Because medical education looks different all across the world, and there really is a spectrum of skill sets. So we want to make sure that patients are receiving the high quality world-class care that we are expecting here in Ontario.
Sure. And I understand that, but I just think it need to be looked at more in depth and expedited. I'll give you a good example here, and I'll let you go. My wife just had some pretty serious foot surgery done. Her doctor was in Toronto at St. Mike's. She was from Ireland. And I had a chance to have a good talk with her. She says, "Sir, you would not believe the hoops I had to jump through to do this today." Like she said, it was just ridiculous. Like how much stupidity that I had to deal with in order to practice and do this surgery today on your wife. And I think that's a classic example. I think we're missing the boat on this one.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's definitely room to be streamlining, especially with organizations and with places in the world where we know we have a lot of graduates. We do have a lot of graduates that come from Ireland specifically. Right. So making sure we're building up those relationships to perhaps remove some of those barriers on programming that we know aligns well with ours.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
The only other thing I'll mention, I'll let you go, but the only thing I mentioned, we seem to be losing a lot of nurses stateside. Maybe that'll change in the next little while.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if we start respecting our nurses and paying them appropriately, we might be able to hang on to a few
exactly.
more of them here.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Paul. If somebody who goes to Queens gets their residency at the Trinity University Medical Center in Dublin, I'm guessing that they're pretty good. I'm guessing that they're okay. I guess if somebody goes and gets their their medical degree at the University of Toronto and then does their residency at the same hospital where Diana gave birth, they're probably okay.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, there has been examples. I mean, being married to somebody who sees a lot of these graduates come through, there is a spectrum. And yes, there are some that are a safer bet where you can assume that if they've competently graduated in some of these programs that they're going to be qualified.
Right. Nobody, I think, believes that we shouldn't be testing these individuals and making sure that their language skills, their medical skills, their proficiency in our level of medicine is accurate. I guess the question is, how long does it take and what kind of burden do we put on those individuals, especially if they're Canadian?
Yeah.
Right? Like if it's somebody who's immigrating from Sydney, Australia, they're 48, they've been practicing cardiothoracic surgery at a giant hospital in Sydney, it shouldn't take 2 years for them to get their degree. They can probably speak English. They clearly know their way around it. And can't we even get them in the ER for, while they're doing it to at least help out? I mean, again, if the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Canada and Zelensky can all have a conversation, certainly we can rather quickly figure out where somebody is in their medical career.
Yeah, and I think this is where we need to get the right people in the rooms to have these discussions.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I bet you Colin's no longer with us. Just guessing. Okay, Ted, you want to take a quick break? And we'll be back as Amanda Roberts in studio. Don't forget, you'll have 90 seconds at the end of this hour to tell us why she should be the new member of Provincial Parliament for Bay of Quinte.
The following is a paid political message.
I'm Dorothy Nerona, your provincial Liberal candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. I need your support to stop Doug Ford. I need your support to rebuild our healthcare system, which includes making sure you have a family doctor when you need one. As provincial Liberals, we will lower your electricity bills, double ODSP, increase OSAP, and make homeownership a reality rather than a dream. Doug Ford would have you believe Ontario is not for sale, unless it is to his developer friends. We cannot afford four more years of Doug Ford.
Authorized by the CFO for the Dorothy Nerona campaign.
The Electrolux Buy More, Save More event is on now at Arnie's. Buy two Electrolux kitchen appliances, save $350. Buy three, save $750. Only until March 5th. Redefine your kitchen experience at Arnie's Appliances, Tyonega. Everything but the taxes.
What's happening, Quinty? On CJBQ.
The Kiwanis Club of Belleville is hosting a charity trivia night. Assemble your team, just $25 a person in advance, $30 at the door. Food will be provided. Doors open at 6:30 February 27th at the Grand in Belleville. For info and to register, contact the Kiwanis Club of Belleville.
That's what's happening, Quinty. Brought to you by Whitley Newman Insurance and Financial Services.
Is your business safe from cyber attacks? Whitley Newman Insurance provides cyber insurance. This valuable coverage shelters your business from costly data breaches and more. Visit WhitleyNewman.com for your free no-obligation quote. Whitley Newman Insurance and Financial Services. Feel assured.
If it's an outdoor adventure, you'll find it here. The Quinty Sportsman Boat and RV Show takes over the entire Quinty Sports and Wellness Center March 7th to 9th. Over 200 vendors from boats and RVs to fishing, hunting, and camping gear. Plus, dive into adventure with scuba and snorkeling demos, Little Ray's Reptile Zoo, and live fish pond. The Quinty Sportsman Boat and RV Show, the biggest outdoor adventure show between Toronto and Ottawa, March 7th to 9th. For info, visit Quinty Sportsman Show.com.
The following is a paid political message.
Doug Ford has tunnel vision. He sees his wealthy friends, but he doesn't see you. After 7 years in power, he has failed us on health care, education, affordable housing, and the environment. He has wasted billions to put alcohol into the corner stores and checks into your hands just before calling an unnecessary election. His plans are to waste billions more on highways that go nowhere over farmland and luxury spas. Now he has an idea to dig a big hole under the 401 and dump more of your money into it. The Green Party of Ontario has a fully costed platform that puts people over profits. On February 27th, send a message. Vote your conscience. Vote green in your riding. I'm Michael Holbrook, your candidate in Hastings, Lennox, Addington.
Paid for by the Green Party of Ontario.
Serving the Bay of Plenty and beyond. 800 CJBQ.
The only show in Eastern Ontario that lets you rant. It's the Lorne Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
Is the time. We do have Colin on the line, our guest, of course. Amanda Robertson, she is the NDP candidate for Bay of Quinte. Colin, you're on the air. Hello, Colin.
Good morning. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
I was wondering, what is the NDP going to do in terms of education that would be better than, say, the Liberals would do?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So, as a school board trustee, this one is near and dear to me. And to be quite honest, the state of education is a big reason why I threw my name into the hat in the first place. So what the NDP has committed to is restoring the $1,500 per pupil funding cut that we've experienced under the Ford government. We know we've lost over 5,000 educators since Ford came to power. The climate in schools is horrendous right now, and we are losing educators and education workers en masse to burnout.
Well, obviously you need a few more EAs inside some of the classrooms to help out the teacher.
Absolutely. And safe staffing levels is a big one for education. We also recognize that the youth mental health crisis is ballooning, and really schools have become the backstop for a lot of the social challenges that we're seeing with respect to housing and homelessness, food insecurity.
Well, teachers aren't social workers.
Exactly. So an NDP government would ensure that we have a mental health worker in every school to help support teachers in managing some of these crises, but also improving our community mental health services so that we can remove some of that burden off of our teachers and our educators and place it out into the community with qualified mental health care workers to be able to start to address some of these challenges.
I can hear people going, well, how are you going to pay for all that?
But isn't this, I mean, the story is even bigger than this. I was talking to a teacher the other day. On Friday at her school, there were 10 teachers who were not in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a list of supply teachers who are qualified. And then they have a list of unqualified supplies. I could be on that list.
I was on that list.
Right?
I was an unqualified supply. That was my first foray into what our school looks like from the inside.
So we can have, we are in such desperate need. An unqualified teacher, I assume, is just somebody who makes sure the kids don't kill themselves for the day.
Mm-hmm. And what I will say, too, is we are paying for that as taxpayers, because when we are paying those unqualified supplies, we are also paying our educators. So until we improve the climate, we are paying twice for education and receiving not the standard that we are expecting as taxpayers and as parents and the support that our students need in the classroom.
Well, I can tell you one of the reasons that teachers aren't going in is because they don't want to play social worker, and too many times the teacher ends up playing dad or mom.
Or spending the majority of their, it's a very distressing situation for sure. And thanks for the call, Colin. And, not that an unqualified, I mean, if you went into a classroom, I'm sure you'd do your best to try to actually impart something to those kids that day. I'm not just saying teacher comes in, pulls out a Vogue magazine and Time magazine starts going through.
And what I would say is we have unqualified supplies in there, which really in many cases amounts to a safe adult in the room.
Right.
But even having qualified supplies is not the continuity that our kids deserve and right. our parents expect. So even having qualified supplies is not the solution. The solution
is... how do we go from having a situation where graduated teachers couldn't get a job to the point where the Liberal government had to make the program 2 years long as opposed mm-hmm. to a year, to the point where school boards are begging for trained teachers? I suppose if you graduate education from Queens, you are guaranteed a job somewhere in our education system.
Yeah. So what I would say is that in the last 7 years, we've had a government that has disrespected teachers at every opportunity, has capped their wages, has taken them to court, has used notwithstanding clause against them. So we have a hostile environment that is not conducive to people feeling valued and to feeling like the work they're doing.
But it's been hostile. It was hostile under the Liberals,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
There just always seems to be a hostile environment between government and teachers.
Well, the
unions.
Yes. And I think what we need is a government that's willing to invest what we know is needed. We know our population of students is growing and their need is increasing. And we want to be able to offer them the best education that we can, because we know that for every dollar we invest in education, we get like $1.30 back in our economy and
economic output. Would you want to be the Minister of Education?
No, I don't think I would want to be the Minister of Education. I have too many friends in that world. But I think that there is room for people who understand the system to be in government. And we have some really great members or former members as part of our NDP group and team who Chandra Plasma has been our education critic and has been doing fabulous work to advocate for the needs in schools. We've put forward a lot of legislation to help to try to address some of the challenges we're seeing with respect to school violence. And I think we have a lot of work to do, but we have a really great team prepared and ready to do that work.
Joe, you're on the air with Amanda Robertson.
Good morning, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing well. So, Amanda, I will be honest with you. Normally, I am a PC supporter, and this year I've made the decision. I'm not really happy with some of the things the Ford government has done, and I've decided to throw my vote somewhere else. So I've been studying up on the platforms of the people running against him. I've looked at the NDP policy and what they want to do. Is what is it that you're doing for the Bay of Quinte area right now?
What is it that I am doing for the Bay of Quinte?
Yes, right now.
Well, I've been meeting with people all over the riding of all different political stripes to understand some of the solutions that they see to some of our complex problems. I think that is the value add that I can bring as our member representative. And I will say that you're not alone in conservative, traditionally conservative voters who are looking for somewhere else to plant their vote. I think we can all agree that Doug Ford is no conservative. He's conserving no money. He's conserving no green space. He's conserving no relationships with other levels of government. So we do have a lot of work to do to start to repair. But this is where our local representation really matters, because we need people who are willing to come to the source, to come to the people who actually live and work here in the Bay of Quinte, and make sure that not just our challenges, because I think the government is very aware of the issues that we're facing, but they're not willing to hear and to elicit some of the solutions that we know will work here. Our frontline workers, whether they're in manufacturing or education or healthcare, they have answers and solutions that can help and go a long way to solving some of these problems.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate the call. Well, Amanda, the hour goes by quite quickly. So now, because we are doing the same for everybody, you now have 90 seconds to tell us why you should be the member of provincial parliament for Bay of Quinte.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we know that what is happening right now in Bay of Quinte in the province is not working for most of us. Very few of us are better off now than we were 7 years ago, and we really do need change. And I will say that knocking on over 2,000 doors this campaign and making 15,000 phone calls, we know that the majority of people here in Bay of Quinte want change. I would love to be the person who can help bring change as part of a government that is refocusing our priorities on you and me and everyone who lives and works here in the Bay of Quinte. But our big complex problems are going to require creative solutions, and that is going to have to come from our community. So I really want to be the person to bring our voices to Queen's Park and really articulate and advocate and communicate what we need and why we need it and how we need it. I know that we have a lot of people who are progressive-minded, who are looking to throw their support behind whomever. But the reality is we need a representative who can speak to our challenges and can speak to the solutions. And I would love that opportunity. So February 27th, vote Amanda Robertson and the Ontario NDP. And also, it is my birthday on February 27th.
Well, that would be quite the present to be given a job as the MPP. Thank you very much, Amanda. We appreciate your time, as always. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, learn more about the NDP, learn more about yourself, or they have a question they didn't get to ask on the air, how do they do so?
So you can go to my website, Amanda Robertson at OntarioNDP.ca. You can follow me on Instagram, arobertsonboq. Or you can follow our Bay of Quinte NDP page on Facebook.
Okay. Thank you, Amanda. Good luck on Thursday. And we remind everybody that Election Day is Thursday. Get your arses out of bed and go vote. It is so important for the future of our province. Well, thank you very much, everybody, joining us on the program today. Big thanks to Zach McGibbon for his council report, Alicia McGuire, the manager of economic development for the city of Belleville, and Jill Raycroft, CEO of the Belleville Chamber of Commerce. Big thanks to Amanda as well. Tomorrow on the show, we talk pop-ups on the Bay with Joe Chinook and Michelle. Michelle's from the city of Belleville. We also, our last Meet the Candidate as we continue our discussion with the NDP, this time for Hastings, Lennox, and Addington. Jessica Zilke will join us in studio. Thanks as always to our wonderful producer, Ted Bradford. The news is coming up next at 11 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks so much for coming in.